podcast.
And welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
We are married. We've got kids. They're four. Bryn and 2.5 Maven. And boy, did I just have a crappy night with my kids. Can I vent? Is this a safe space?
Tell us what happened.
I'm just so full of what I could only describe as rage. And it's incredible. I'm sick. You can hear it in my voice. Not terrible, just an annoying, heavy, don't want to do anything kind of sick. So, Bryn and Maven, we were on vacation all week. We just got back, and there's no daycare this week because this is, quote-unquote, winter break, which is the last week in November. Don't know why. So, we have an alternate daycare situation this week. None of this matters. So I went to go pick them up from a new place. Well, I think it is relevant because I think they're a little stressed out because things are different. Vacation time zone has changed. I go to pick them up. It's raining really hard. And I was like, well, better bring Bryn's boots and umbrella. So I grab an umbrella and I grab Bryn's boots. That's fun to say. I bring Bryn's boots. I go to the place. I realize I've forgotten Bryn's umbrella in the house. So I'm like, okay, I can just carry Maven and Bryn will stick close to me. I go up into the house. He doesn't want to leave. And he's refusing, he's not saying anything, he's not budging. And so the woman there who runs it basically bribes him out the door by giving Maven Oreo cookies. And he goes, you can share this with Bryn. And then he's like, but she meant to say these are cookies for you. And then he just freaks out thinking he's not getting cookies. And so she's like, oh, it's okay. Here is a full pack of Oreo cookies for both of you. You know, we're talking 6 Oreo cookies each. And I'm like, well, what do you say, Bryn? And he goes, nothing. I don't want to say anything. And I was like, I'm not going to push the politeness because he's finally got his boots on. So we go downstairs. I park down the street. It's pouring rain. And I say, Bryn, let's go. We got to run. And I try to hold him close to me, get the umbrella over him. And I'm carrying Maven. And none of this is protecting Bryn. And he is soaking wet, and he starts whining, and I feel bad, but I have to, like, make him run. So I'm like, come on, come on, come on. He's trying to talk to me. I can't hear him because it's too loud. The rain. I get him in the car. It's fine. We get, and he, the whole time, he was saying, I didn't want to say goodbye because I love my friends. And I was like, well, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was so dramatic, though.
He's like, I love my friends. I didn't want to say goodbye. I'm like, that's okay, but maybe tomorrow, why don't you tell her thank you for the Oreos? So we park. You know, we live in a co-op building, and I parked on the street. It's pouring rain. And so I'm trying to use my tactic of giving Bryn a job. So I go, Bryn, now I'm going to need your help because you're a big boy. So I want you to sit in the front seat, and here's your backpack. And I'm going to go, when I say go, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to get Maven. When I open the door, you need to jump out. We need to go as fast as we can. He goes, run? I'm like, well, we're going to walk fast. And we talk about the speed of running. And he's like, okay, I'm ready. And I jump out, and I go around, and I get Maven. I drop the umbrella. The wind blows it into the busy street. I drop Maven into the grass. I run into the busy street, almost get hit by a car. Grab the umbrella, which then gets blown inside out. I bring it back in. I step fully in a giant puddle. Maven screams. I fix the umbrella. I pick Maven up, and I have her in my arm, holding the umbrella in the same arm. I open the door, and I go, all right, Bryn, time to go. Zero movement on Bryn. And I know that when you push him, he digs in his heels. But it is storming, and it is raining. So I'm like, Bryn, I really need you to go. I really need you to go. Get out of the car. And he's not moving. He's looking at me scared because he knows I'm going to get upset. And I'm saying, I don't want to get angry, Bryn. I'm trying not to be angry, but I really need you to move, buddy. I need you to help me. And he won't move. And then I go, you want your Oreo cookies? No cookies. You don't get out of the car. I rapid fire all of my tactics. But of course, I'm so aggressive and stressed that he's just paralyzed and not moving. And I get so mad. And then I finally, after asking him 12 times, go, I'm going to count to three and then I'm going to grab you. One, two. And then he jumped out of the car. I was like, oh my God, that worked. Get out of the car. We start going. I grab his hand. Halfway there, he decides he doesn't want to walk anymore. He lets go of my hand. He gets nailed by more rain. And I go, we have to go. And I grab him by the hand and I pull him and he starts crying. And I know that it's bad, but I have to keep moving. We get to the door. He starts harumphing and screaming. I go inside. I have to grab him by his jacket. I have to hold, carry Maven and an umbrella in one arm. And then the only way I can carry Bryn is to grab him basically by like his collar, like the front of his jacket. With one hand, I grab his jacket and squeeze, and I pick him up like a bouncer threatening somebody against a wall.
You picked him up by his collar?
Not his collar, but the front of his jacket. Like the middle of his...
You picked him up by his clothing.
Yes. By like the middle of his chest jacket. Just a full handful of jacket. And of course...
You are both the most dramatic people I know. The two of you together.
Trying to keep it together.
I miss my friends.
We get up here. He's crying. And then I'm like, I know he doesn't understand. All he knows is that I am angry. And I'm just trying to leave him alone. I throw him in his room. I don't throw him. I put him in his room. He's sobbing like so pathetically and like vulnerable. And I feel terrible. But I have to stay away from him because I want to murder him. And I finally just calm down. And Maven, of course, is just happy as a clam. She's just going, I've got Oreos.
She's and just shoving them into her mouth. Slowly
she couldn't
open.
No one had Oreos tonight. No one got Oreos.
You took them away?
Well, I said you have to eat dinner before you eat six Oreos. And then Bryn ate his dinner. But I had to put my... I threatened so many times. I said, if you don't go, no cookies.
So the whole time they've been walking home, they've had not a single Oreo?
No. They didn't have an Oreo all night. Because I put my foot down.
I mean, do you feel like you won?
No. I feel like everybody lost. And I feel like I want to break everything in here.
Don't you think you could have just like let them eat the Oreos before dinner and then been inside?
No, because while I was in the car, I already told them TV and cookies were off the table.
You just are dealt a bad hand and you have to play the cards you have. You can't.
I played the cards and I stuck with my choice.
You're bluffing. You
I bluffed. Was not. That is the thing. I never bluff. You bluff. I did not bluff. I wish that I had bluffed and just said, fine, have the cookies.
You know what I'm going to say about this whole situation?
I already know, but go
hate,
ahead.
You're going to hate it. I don't know what I'm going to say.
Okay. I already hate it, but go ahead.
It's Mercury retrograde right now.
Oh, God.
See, you didn't know.
Oh, I didn't know I'd hate it that much.
and it felt like it especially kicked up today because I, at nearly the exact same time tonight, I was riding home on the train and the... train was stopped and I was about to leave the station. We're like only a stop or two away from home.
This is the Metro North.
This is the Metro North train. I'm sitting there with my headphones in, and all of a sudden I hear like a thunk. And this someone had clearly like hit the ground. And all these people are like looking in one direction. I can't see because it's like behind a seat. But this old guy like stands up off the floor and then keeps walking towards the door. And this guy like kind of grabs him to try to hold him up and be like, are you trying to get off here at this stop? Because he like wants to make sure the guy knows what he's doing and like it's not a health problem or something. And the guy kind of like shook him off and kept walking. And then the women next to me were like, he's drunk. And it was like a really drunk guy. And then I think it was my first instinct in that situation, because I've heard before that people with disabilities sometimes appear as though they're drunk or if they're having a seizure or something. You want to make sure you're not just like scoffing at a person on the side of the road thinking it's like, I mean, you should care about drunk people too, obviously, but you know, it's not like, so anyway, so my instinct was to like question them saying that, but then the way the man like pushed off and like walked out of the train really assuredly, I was like, oh, he's definitely drunk.
Yeah.
So anyway, and the woman were talking about how he like, I think he like brushed against one of them trying to leave or something, or like slumped onto them and they thought he was like trying to grope them at first. So they were like just really confused. Anyway, then he gets off the train and the train They say there's like a medical emergency, even though the guy had like stopped, like one of the guys got out of the train and watched him walk away. Like he went to the end of the platform. So it wasn't either they misinterpreted what was happening and word got to a conductor somewhere, or there were simultaneously like two different events holding back this train.
Whoa,
it was really weird. Anyway, and then we stopped and started, and it was just like a classic train scenario.
That's what Brendan and Maven were like, two drunk idiots on a train tonight.
Well, and that's what Mercury retrograde is. It's things going haywire to reveal weaknesses in the system.
Well, the system was rock solid tonight. Everything I did was the right choice. The rain just sped things up and exacerbated tensions. And in the end, I'll tell you what, Bryn is going to remember, and because we went over it, why I got mad. That's the thing you never. Here's a real lesson from it, and this is the lesson I learned over and over, which is, the second you show aggression to your children, they become blind to why you're mad. They, especially if they're this little, all they know is you're mad.
Yeah,
and they don't want that, and then they don't learn anything from it.
It's true, but there, I'll admit there are sometimes when I get aggressive consciously knowing I don't want to do it, but it's sort of the quickest way out of a standstill like that, where I actually, he's so stubborn at that point, and I know it's just going to hold off for like an insane amount of time, and like there are things, pressures at play where I might need to move it along. And if he bursts into tears and breaks down, I know we're closer to reconciliation than... If
you're like, let's get through this.
Sometimes there's just no time for it, and he needs to, like.
Well, you know what? I'm realizing my mom would blow up, and I quickly learned to not be scared of it because I was used to it. But if my dad ever exploded, it was terrifying because it was so rare. And I think
I'm your dad.
Your dad. Like, if you scream at Bryn.
Well, because I don't
more.
Like doing it. I'm like, you're forcing me to yell now. This is not my natural state. There's like no part of me.
It's scary wants when you screaming. Blow up. It's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Well, because we shouldn't have to get to that. People should listen.
I don't want to paint the picture that I blow up all the time. I'm very in control of my
emotions. I
think
our podcast listeners are very familiar with how you dominate vocally, though.
I don't know what you mean. Anyway, that was all of that was just tonight. The big thing that happened was Thanksgiving. We flew across the country.
I have to say, I think you got built up in the last episode because a lot of people in your family were like, thank you for making this trip out here, when actually our flight there was very pretty smooth.
Oh, it was so great. I have virtually no complaints.
I just didn't really know what to expect going into this kind of travel weekend because, like I said, I hadn't done it before. And LaGuardia was like running smoothly when we got there, and that was good.
We did travel on the two busiest travel days of the year. And
yeah. But they were prepared for it.
Yeah, and no delays. Well, the big thing, though, is Bryn and Maven were champs.
Well, yeah.
I mean, anything they did to wine was nothing compared to the last time we both traveled.
Yeah, it's much better than Bryn's like hour-long airplane scream fest that I've experienced. And the thing is, they can kind of keep themselves entertained now, so it's not as bad. But then they're also just like rolling all over the floor and like licking every airport surface.
Oh, in the gate? Oh, we really let Bryn.
Well, in the gate, on the airplane, everywhere, they're just like, let me press my mouth all over this Zika, like
the Zika bench
hole. Yeah. And you just have to kind of be
did
like,
did you say Zika hole?
Zika hellhole?
Oh, hellhole. Zika hellhole. Yeah, don't put your mouth on any Zika hellhole.
I will tell you, the airport is covered in Zika holes. But I think so far so good. They're not sick, thank God.
Well, they were already sick. They were sick.
They weren't that sick.
Not that sick, but they've been sick for a week.
They were getting over something. They're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the airplane travel was pretty good. I was really, really tired going into the flight home, and just from being around people nonstop and like having to watch our kids like a hawk within like a not quite baby-proofed environment.
Yeah.
I was so incredibly relieved because Maven slept for the entire flight home, and it was perfect.
And Bryn watched 2 hours of Ben 10.
His new favorite.
This is the benefit. Listen, we don't let them play with our phones hardly ever. Like, don't let them touch screens.
It's starting to become a thing, though. Brain keeps getting a hold of people's phones, and it's like...
Yeah, well, yeah. But the fact that we don't give them phones meant that we're on the plane. I give him my phone with his shows and headphones, and he locks in, and he every second's looking at this thing.
Yeah,
Maven, you save it for when you need it.
Maven was doing this thing where she'd have like a movie playing on the phone, and then she'd just keep tapping the screen to pull up the menu of like pausing it, and like then she'd tap the screen to remove that part. Like, she just clearly is like, look at me holding a phone.
Yeah, that's that age too, where like Bryn is over the novelty of the touch screens in some ways. Like, he's actually more interested in the content now. He loves Ben 10. Loves that Ben 10.
Yeah.
He loves to pretend to transform into... For those of you who've never seen Ben 10, Ben is a boy with a wristwatch that lets him transform into 10 different aliens.
I have to say, it's getting increasingly, for me, like a game of telephone to see what he's watching on TV, because... And this is not a good parenting move at all, but I never stay in the room when he's watching TV because that's the only time I can be left alone. So... I'm always trying to get other stuff done, and he is telling me like about these shows by role playing as the characters, and it's really hard to tell what he's making up and what's from the show. And he keeps transforming into different aliens, and he was like the fire alien, Cannonbolt, stink something.
Stink fly,
I guess it's like a stinky fly or something. Yeah. I don't understand how they're also aliens.
I don't fully understand the premise. I think there are creatures from other planets that he transforms. He's body sharing. Maybe it's a quantum leap situation.
I literally haven't watched a single frame of this show.
It's I understand why kids like it. It's a lot better than a lot of the stuff that he likes.
Yeah, anyway, he's very entertained by it.
I gotta say, tonight was worse than anything that happened in the whole past week. And that included
maybe
two
for
travels.
You.
For me. I am so angry. Well, yeah, I'm going to leave my anger here. Okay. Thank you for enduring it. And I'm going to, in this next section, bring my full recovered positivity. Also, I'm drinking scotch.
I want to say, though, your relaxation level on vacations is much lower than mine in general.
My relaxation levels are lower?
Because...
You mean higher? I'm more relaxed.
You're more relaxed.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I phrased that badly.
Yes. I think early on vacations, there was a big... You would get much more stressed because I'd be even more relaxed and there'd be more... dangers to watch because our kids were younger and you would be more stressed. And I think we've both adjusted. One, I take much more responsibility. And two, you also, I think it seems to me, are like taking things in stride. And
well, here's the thing. I have to constantly remind myself to leave because if I, unless I go lay down to take a nap or I go for a run or do something that I'm where I'm physically away from everyone, like you and the kids, there's no way I can like get a second to relax on the whole trip because as soon as I enter a room where you and other people are watching the kids.
Let's just say me and other McNerneys who are also all speaking at full volume at the same time.
You're loud and that's fine. But then with our kids, like you, if you have another person in the room, you're like, oh, I'm on stage right now. And you go into performer mode and you're like, I have to participate in this. I gotta be a part of it. And so you're not watching your kids. And so even when I'm like, hey, can you keep an eye on the kids? It's like, I'll start to walk away and you're like, yeah. And you just like, your eyes are glued to something else or someone else. And I can tell you're like literally not watching our kids like wander towards a hot stove.
I really can't pay attention to more than one thing at a time. Well, humans in general, that's true. You're shifting between focuses.
You don't attempt to focus on the important thing, which is just like at least every...
Well, don't overgeneralize because I make a real effort and I do a great job mostly.
But you only make 100% effort if I leave the room and you know is your actual responsibility. And even then,
true.
You don't always.
Well, even when you're gone, I'm like, they're fine. I'm mostly paying attention because I'm wondering if Beth is watching me pay attention. Not mostly, a little bit of me. Mostly I'm worried about the safety of my children. Boy, it helps that they are old enough to not murder themselves every second.
Sort of.
I think we did great. I hear you. I love you. Goodbye. Now it's time for You Knows What They Said? This is where we play a game to guess what was a real quote from our kids. But there were so many great quotes from this weekend, and I think we already know what they are. So we're each just going to pick our favorite thing that was said by our children this past week on vacation and unpack it. You're going to go first so that I can cough aggressively off mic. Ready? Ooh, that cold. Go ahead.
Okay. The thing that Maven said that was literally the funniest joke of the whole week is she was sitting behind you.
Oh, I know what this is.
Looking at your bald head, and she said, "Look at Daddy's head. It looks like a butt." And then she laughed to herself. And it was so funny. I repeated it to the room, and then everyone started laughing, and then she got very embarrassed and
started crying. A few people heard it at first. She was playing to the room.
Yeah.
It was loud. "Look at Daddy's head. It looks like a butt."
That's the thing that I think is much different about her as a 2.5-year-old is she's like, her humor is showing in, especially in this environment where there's other people around. She's not like just quiet.
Yeah. Oh boy. It was a great, we didn't talk about this at all, but it was a great trip. They spent the week with their cousins who live in Chicago, who are 1 and 3 and 8 and 9. And Maven just like building relationship. I said this before, but I feel like both Bryn and Maven, they're social skills and vocabulary seems to like jump by leaps and bounds when they spend the week with their cousins or with a bunch of adults like on vacations. It's either that or that's the week in which we have time to catch up on their development and we notice it.
It's hard to say which of the two it is because, yeah, you're spending a lot of time with them and they're just saying a lot of funny things. And like because they're in a new environment, they're just picking up on so much more. And like noticing things and commenting on them. And that you also have to constantly distract them. So it just means like taking time to do something that I probably should do more often, which is just pointing things out to them and being like, "That's a clock," or like, you know, like explaining how things work.
Well, don't worry. That's all I do with them all day long.
I know. That's why I don't feel pressure to do it on a regular basis, because I know you've got it fairly covered. But when we're in those environments, I'm like, oh, I need to like focus their energy so they're not like climbing the walls.
Yeah. All right, you ready for mine?
Yeah.
Mine is a full exchange. So Bryn was, we went to a party at my brother's house for all of our family and my sister-in-law's family. And he has a niece on that side who's 11. So she's the oldest of all the cousins on both sides. So there's like a ton of cousins running around. And she was in a room with Bryn. Excuse me. Gross. She's in a room with Bryn and they're talking. I walk in and Bryn was going, "Bryn is just my short name. My long name is Bryn William McNerney, but I like to go by my short name, which is Bryn, B-R-Y-N, Bryn." And she's like, "Wow, you're pretty funny, huh? You know a lot of words." And I go, "Oh yeah, this guy talks all the time." And then Bryn goes, I talk all over the world." We go, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, I get $20 a word." We're like, "Oh yeah." And he goes, "Yeah, $20 is too much."
He's so funny.
And I still don't really know how much he knew what he was saying, but he like it all sounded correct. You know, like it sounded.
It's a very weird specific because people do get paid by the word for certain things. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I think you said I get paid $20 for one word.
Per word. That's so funny.
He really, I call it Uncle Bryn. When he goes into that mode where he just sort of sounds like your uncle who has the scotch in his hand and he's had like three or four of them.
Yeah, and he loves to repeat a fart joke to the room really loud.
Yeah, I talk all over the world. You know, I get $20 to word. $20? That's too much. I'll tell you that right now. My long name is Bryn William McNerney.
Oh, can I quickly mention another thing that happened at that party, which was really, really great because there's a lot of kids, a lot of like running around. It's like really nice to see them all together. So our nephew, who's 10, he planned an escape room in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't think he participated in this.
No,
but
he had
been wanting to do one the other day before. So then clearly he had time to like sit down and really think about this and make one in the basement. I think his cousin helped. And like, it was very elaborate and impressive and like logical, but then it also was clearly made by like 10 and 11 year olds who were like struggling to sort of figure out how this was supposed to work.
Yeah.
And they like were leaving clues and they'd like reference things. You could tell they kind of had adult help, but not like fully. And they had things where you'd find pieces of paper and piece them together that was supposed to sort of spell out a phrase that was your clue, but the clues didn't actually make sense. Like,
do you have an example of a clue?
It's hard to say because they had one that they would be like, Marianne was here. And it would be like a reference to the original owner of the house. But then it was just like something in the room that you, as someone who didn't live there, didn't know about. So like you wouldn't, there's no way you would get it. And then they would have clues that were like, three eyes are here. And then you're like, oh, that's actually a great clue. There's happened to be three bullseyes spray painted on the wall. And then they're like, no, that's not that. It references something else. And they would like have to constantly kind of explain it to us, but it didn't like fully add up. And then they like, I keep wanting to say your because he was your nephew before he was ours, I believe. But he, our nephew was like really anxious about the escape room not working. So if we would ponder a clue for more than like 5 seconds, he would always go, it's only in this general area. And he'd start giving us more clues because he like didn't want this game to go badly. And he's such a sweet, like nerdy kid.
I feel real bad. I was like brushing him off. I was like, listen, I'm alternate number one, but I got to watch these kids.
I was really glad I got to do it because it was actually just really funny to do. Like, it was, like I just happened to wander down there when they were starting, and I was like holding Maven the whole time.
Yeah.
And then Maven, so they made us do it in the dark. So it's like a dark basement. And so everyone had their cell phone lights on. So I turned mine on, and then my Maven wanted to hold the phone. So then it was just really adorable because like 2-year-old Maven is wandering around in a dark basement, like pointing a phone light at things, like acting like she's solving the clues. And it was just like very funny to see all these kids like running around.
But her nephew was like, take this seriously. Oh boy, I would have those ideas as a kid all the time, but I would not, there'd be no follow through. I'd be like,
yeah,
let's do a trick. I found it in my parents' house. I have all these books that I made in elementary school, and I designed the cover to be a big drawing, the title, and then I have the first page and a drawing, and then the second page would just be a drawing, and then the third page would be the beginning of a drawing, and then it would be 10 blank pages. And that was every book I ever created, which is why now I am an improviser.
Yeah. This next segment is called We Knows What They're Watching, and we talk about some media that our children are consuming. So this weekend when we were with your parents, your mom very kindly got us tickets to a local community theater production of Shrek the Musical.
It was not a community theater, it's regional theater.
I don't know the difference.
Regional's real theater. And
how is it more real?
There's a budget and there's like professional actors.
Community theater has no budget.
It's not budget. There's professional actors. There's equity actors. First, community theater is like, hey, I'm going to sign up and be in a play down at the town hall.
I mean, it sounds like a designation you heard from a very insecure acting professor.
There is a major difference between regional theater and community theater. If I learned nothing else from my 4 years as a theater major, it's the difference.
Whatever you need to feel important at the end of the day.
Yeah, this is about me.
Regional theater. We're going to get so many emails about this.
Oh, my God. regional theater just means not Broadway.
Okay. So it's a very nice theater. You guys wouldn't believe the production value.
It's a pretty nice theater.
I said it was a very nice theater.
Yeah.
And our kids loved it. It was a little confusing for our kids at first because they just didn't understand.
Did you say what the show was?
Yeah, I said it was Shrek the Musical.
Okay, great.
Our kids didn't understand what it meant to go see a show, and your mom made the mistake of showing Bryn a YouTube video, a trailer for the show before the show when he was already excited to go, and then the trailer had like a dragon in it, which I think just for some reason his 4-year-old brain was just like, nope, I don't like that. I don't like.
Well, what I think it was is like the video does not make it clear that there's an audience and that this, like he didn't understand that aspect of it. So he's like, you're going to hang out with this monster. He's like, I do not want to do that.
Anyway, something set him off and he clearly just the whole time didn't understand what was going to happen. So it wasn't until after we saw it that he was like, I liked that.
Yeah. I had to wait with him in the parking lot and it took 15 minutes of him screaming, I don't want to go, and me slowly walking towards the theater going, we're just going to check out the lobby.
He had to be bribed, and your very smart brother secretly handed him a small cup of ice cream to get him into the car so that we could just get out of there and get to the show on time.
We bribed him all the way there.
Yeah. Anyway.
And he goes, I like that play. Do you think it was funny? And he went, no.
Well, and whenever there's anything scary, that's all they want to talk about. So they're both like, that was scary. I was scared of the dragon. And so when I asked Maven about the play, she was like, I was scared. But then later she was like, I want to see the scary.
Oh, they
so she made me play her videos of the play on the phone afterwards. I was like, you clearly like this.
You want to hear my quick review of the play?
No.
Are you afraid I'm going to hurt my mom's feelings?
Yes.
Okay. I think my kids loved it, and I was glad I went because they loved it. But it was unbearable. I love you, Mom. Thank you for buying us tickets. I can't end this segment yet because I know a bunch of you listeners have seen Shrek the Musical, and you loved it. And that's totally valid. There's no such thing. There's no objective definition for good art. It's totally subjective. If you loved it, it means it was great for you. I just hated it. Anyway, thanks for joining me here in Peter's Corner, where I review regional theater productions.
Guys, don't email us about theater.
Do not email us about Shrek the Musical.
We don't know. Well, I don't know anything about regional theater, clearly, so just...
Yeah, and I do. The actors did a great job.
We know exactly what we're talking about.
I just was happy that my kids were having fun.
Can we just say it's a very fart-heavy musical?
And that was the best part.
Our kids were a huge fan of that.
The fart song really got them. Duh. And this has been whatever this segment was called.
Okay, this next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we take questions and comments from our listeners. So we had a little bit of an inflammatory discussion on the last episode.
Oh.
Sorry, you know.
We really.
I just wanted to start by saying when we were discussing this segment in particular, which was about hyphenated last names, we were just having fun and don't really have that strong of an opinion about what you choose your kids' name to be. I really feel like
this is the first that, we obviously hurt some people's feelings and some people let us know. And we sort of went against our unofficial motto. We have a philosophy that we may not have articulated, which is that, like, if anything else, we don't advocate a right way to do anything.
No, if you ask my actual take on hyphenated last names, it's that people should do whatever they want to do. It's their kid and their decision. What I was responding to in the last episode was that particular listener's question. So I was trying to give advice to that person and what I thought would work best for them, but I don't really overall care what anyone names their kid.
Well, I was definitely the more dismissive one, as I think I accused hyphenated last names parents of deferring the decision.
Okay, so you're going to read some of the comments we got based off of the last episode.
So there's different viewpoints on this, and they're all great, but I just want to say, for those people that have decided to hyphenate last names, that was the right choice for your family. We made a different choice here. That was the right choice for our family. Sometimes I don't think through an opinion before it comes out of my mouth. All right. Ready for this? I'm going to go through these real quick. So this comes to us from Julie. Hi, Peter and Beth. Just listened to your You're All Getting Mugs for Christmas episode and wanted to respond to the email at the end. I myself took my husband's last name because it was shorter than mine and it was important to him. I do know a pretty neat solution that is for sure not for everyone, but a solution nonetheless. My cousin and her husband merged their last names together and created a new one that only consists of three letters. I thought I'd share this neat solution to long hyphenated last names. That to me feels like the most hippie, progressive, sort of like, let's create something new.
I don't hate that decision, but it's also just not for me. Like, it seems confusing to explain. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to have to, like, my entire goal with this, and obviously it's not other people's goals and it doesn't have to be, is just efficiency. Like, I don't want to have I'm dealing with about my last name on a regular basis.
That is the argument for let's all take the husband's last name.
Well, no, that's not the argument. The argument originally was that men owned their wives, but
That's true. But I mean, everyone keeping the same, but they're all complicated. In my mind, it's like none of them are so complicated you can't deal with it. So do what's in your heart.
Well, and also I think part of my fear of hyphenated last names was that the kid might just struggle with like spelling and getting that whole thing out. And then like if I had known I was having Bryn, I would realize that he loves saying his three names out loud nonstop, and it's like not going to be a problem.
We should have given him four more names.
Whatever.
Here's another one. I love this though. Thanks for putting out such an encouraging and honest podcast. I know it's not easy, but I'm glad you do it. I don't normally have time to email. But we're traveling on Thanksgiving holiday. Kids just fell asleep. Husband is taking a turn at the wheel. And you're writing an email and not throwing up? I can't type in the car. She didn't write that. I just said that. This is Lindsay. Continuing on. I just finished listening to the episode where you're talking about last names. I thought you'd find it interesting to know how Latin Americans handle last names. We lived there for a few years. At first, I was very confused because they had spaces for two last names on forms and documents, and kids had different last names than both their parents. When you are born, you get your dad's last name and your mom's first name. No hyphens, just two last names. When a couple gets married, there's no name change. It makes it very easy to trace your ancestry. When filling out forms in countries that only have one last name, you just use your first last name. You may already know this, but it was mind-blowing for me the first time and made me wish the system was built into our culture as well. Thanks for such a great podcast, Lindsay! I have heard that before.
I heard something like that, and I feel like it varies slightly between different South American countries, but it's like a similar thing to that.
It's a little bit of the hyphenated last name philosophy.
Yeah. Why my original personal philosophy is just like to hell with the whole thing. You can have your dad's last name because the whole thing at some point breaks down if you're trying to create like any sort of clear information of ancestry.
You can't obviously just keep name adding names generation.
Yeah, unless you're like a Windsor, and then you can just keep going, I guess. And will care.
I was born in Windsor. Did you know that?
I did know that. I wish I hadn't brought it up because of that.
You should know because you're my wife. Buckingham Palace in the background from my window at Princess Margaret Hospital. Ask me about it. Anyway, here's another one. Peter and Beth. Just want to say your show gets better and better every week. And I continue to count myself among your biggest fans. On to my point. About surnames, I'm skipping ahead a little. I agree with the stance that the kids could just take the mother's surname. The listener who wrote the email indicated that her husband was against that. Another option, what about this? What if they made the child's first name the mother's surname and the child's surname the same as the father's? For example, if her surname is Aoki and his is Bernard Hopkins, the kid's name would be Aoki Bernard Hopkins. You actually saw the surnames and you would know if that would be an awful, cruel name, but it could work in theory, right? Also, regarding the discussion about what a pain it is to have a hyphenated last name, I recently watched a YouTube video about a woman who moved to Mexico from Ukraine. She has had the hardest time with paperwork because the Mexican bureaucratic paperwork system is built that the norm is that at least to have at least two surnames. Administrators couldn't figure out what to do with her since she only had one. Maybe having a hyphenated last name will become less and less of a big deal as the world becomes more globalized, or at least with the increasing Latin population of the U.S. Thank you. This is Katie from Georgia.
It's interesting, actually, hearing all these perspectives. We were talking to our sister-in-law this weekend, who is Bosnian, and her dad is from, I'm going to get this wrong, Serbia? He immigrated there. Right? From a nearby country? You don't know the answer. Oh, you're mad at yourself. Okay.
Well, there was no Bosnia. She was born in Yugoslavia.
So he's not from the area. And so...
they can't listen to this episode now.
Why not?
Because I have to admit that I don't remember where her dad's from.
It's okay. She'll understand.
Her mom's from Montenegro.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But her dad's also not from Bosnia. Anyway.
Well, there was no Bosnia.
Okay. Well, he's not from that area of the world. He's from slightly over. Anyway, let me talk.
Oh, gosh.
So he moved to a different area, or his father did, and it was less Muslim. And in order to be nationalized in the country of Bosnia, I believe, he dropped the... we are going to have to apologize to you, Ray, so we're totally butchering this story. But anyway, he had to drop the sort of Muslim indicators in his name, which was Hashimi, right?
Yeah, but now it's Hashimovich.
So they dropped the H and they changed it in order to be more nationalized. And so, this is recent enough in history that his living relatives have a different last name than him. Live in different countries.
That's right. Oh, it's like the McInerneys.
But I think it's just an interesting thing of like, I mean, you can try as hard as you want to cling to these names or whatever, but like we just kind of don't have as much control over these things as we think we do. You know?
Boy, yeah. I'm going to have to call my sister-in-law.
Sorry.
Sort that out. I think that my mom always told us, like, so there's four boys in our family, and my oldest brother and my youngest brother have my mom's maiden name as their middle name. And weirdly, the other two of us don't. she wished that she had given us her last name as our middle names.
But that's like what I kind of love about the whole thing is like I'm saying, I think none of this really means anything. Like it all works itself out. And I can't imagine your brothers by any other name, but the way that your mom named you is admittedly, she has said just very scattershot decisions across the board. It was always like her in a hospital bed being like, Sam or what, like?
Well, yeah, my brother Sam. They're like, he's gonna be Matthew. And then the woman next door had named her baby Matthew in the delivery room. She goes, well, we can't use that now.
Yeah, which is just like such a funny thing. But like, it sound to her like the way she tells all of your naming stories, it was just sort of like, I don't know, your dad wanted this, and then I didn't like that, and then we just kind of settled on this. And it's just like, no, like...
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, unless you name your child, like, shithole,
no,
they're going to be fine.
It really doesn't matter. But you... All of our hangups about this name stuff is just not a good predictor of what's going to matter in the future, because when we were naming kids, I remember you saying, like, you've always said you hate your name, Peter, because you had an embarrassing nickname off of it. But that nickname is so unpredictable.
Oh, yeah. And that happened, that was like 2 days of my life.
Can we say what the nickname?
Yeah, Petrie the Portable Potty.
Petrie the Portable Potty, which is not something a kid would naturally think of with the name Peter. Clearly you just...
everyone thinks that everyone has, their name has been made fun of in some way or another.
Yeah.
Growing up. All right, I'm going to read an email now. This is the last one.
Okay.
This one made me feel bad. Hi, Beth and Peter. I've been listening since episode one aired, and I've got a lot of joy from your work. Thanks for sharing so much of your family life with us. I just gave birth to my second child 3 weeks ago, and it's been a tough for a lot of reasons. Then, as I'm listening to your most recent episode, you both start condemning hyphenated last names with a fervor that surprised and disappointed me. My husband and I gave our kids both of our last names. I didn't want the last name linked to either family to be severed at this point. If when our kids have kids of their own, they will probably have to drop one or both of our names. This is fine with us, and we plan to let our kids know that. My feeling is that there's no ideal solution to the last name question. Erasure will inevitably happen. Both my husband and I wanted to pass on our names, so hyphenated surnames seemed like the best choice for our family. Also, as an elementary school teacher, it has never been a problem having a child with a hyphenated surname. You literally have to say, write an extra name. Moreover, it helps me recognize both parents via their last name. Your show generally does a great job of empowering families to make choices that work for them. While hyphenated last names are clearly not your preference, I don't think our kids will be hurt by this choice. I don't think we're weird for making this decision like you. We're doing the best we can to honor each of our expectations for our children and our family. Thanks for taking time to read this, Eliana.
Yeah. I'm so sad that we triggered someone with a two-week-old.
I've already written her back because that was very thoughtful.
Yeah. No,
constructive
she's
criticism.
Right.
And I was like, as soon as the episode was over last time, I was like, boy, what if I was somebody that gave my kid a hyphen to the last name?
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have liked that.
I mean, at the time, I felt like we were taking a hardline stance kind of in jest. Like, I didn't really feel as strongly about it as we portrayed, but I hope she listens to this episode.
But it was a great reminder that in general, you know, that... again, we really believe that there's no right way, and we certainly don't know. And we try not yeah. to take a hard stance on a thing we haven't actually had to experience.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I can't say enough. We really feel at the end of the day that everyone's going to make their own decisions based on their own experiences, environment, anxieties. You do what you got to do. It doesn't matter.
And I'll tell you what, if you had been like, I want our kids to have my last name, which didn't happen, we never had the conversation, I don't know what I would have done. Maybe I would have been like, well, let's hyphenate them in a selfish way. Maybe I would have.
Yeah, it's just a personal preference on my part that, like, I really just pictured myself having a conversation like 10,000 times for the rest of my life where I explained to people the hyphenated last name and like why. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. But it's,
but you know,
I don't really care what other people do. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, anyway, thank you everyone who wrote in. that was all very, very interesting and humbling and a good reminder to not be such a jerk about things. So thank you all.
Yeah, I appreciated all these thoughtful responses.
And there were more, and I'm sorry I can't get to all of them. I want to read just one more thing before we're done, and this is completely unrelated. But I want to read this and then give everyone a homework assignment. Hey, this is from Sophie. Did you notice your voices don't match your face? I just started listening to your podcast, We Knows Parenting. I assumed it was that one. During my morning job, I'm around episode 12. And until today, have never seen your faces. I had a cheeky peek at your Insta and then two eyeball emojis. So similarly to when you read a book, when you can only imagine what the characters look like in your head, that's what I've done with hearing your voices. And my conclusion is that I've spent the last few weeks thinking Rob Delaney and Kristen Wiig have been talking. And I'm sure you get it a lot, or maybe it's just me being an ignorant, stereotyping English twit. But Peter in particular sounds exactly like Rob Delaney. And now I can't imagine anything else when I listen.
I don't hear that, but...
Well, of course, we're not going to agree. Other people might. You've never said to somebody, hey, I met this guy, he looks just like you. And you show him the picture. No one has ever been like, yeah, that looks like me.
Don't you think, though, that now that she brings it up, that Rob Delaney and Kristen Wiig should do a movie together or something? Like
about us?
No, I'm talking about them. She mentions that we sound like them as like she's picturing that pair in her head who, to my knowledge, have never worked together.
I think it's a great pair.
And I think if they want to do a movie together, I will write it. I'm down. I'll figure it out. Part of why I think he doesn't sound like you is like he's from Massachusetts. You have this Midwestern thing going on.
Well, Sophie is English, so she thinks all of us Yankees sound the same.
Okay.
I mean, Rob Delaney and I don't sound hugely dissimilar, but you're from Boston, and so...
Yeah, I guess maybe I can hear
I'm going to finish this lovely email. All caps.
Oh, sorry.
Your faces are lies! I mean, no offense by this, by the way. I just thought you'd like to know. Or not sorry, if so. Anywho, I love the podcast, guys. Flexing arm emoji. I have a 1.5-year-old son who can respectfully relate to at least some of your daily family drama. All the best, Sophie. Sophie from Shropshire. So here's my homework assignment. If you also have not, this is very self-indulgent, but if you also have not taken the time to look up what our beautiful faces.
Don't look like now because we're having our new photos come out, which are really going to show you guys
how beautiful we are,
how great we look right now.
We did just take new pictures, so we're going to have new artwork. But until that's released, don't look up. Don't look us up.
You ask the listeners for the most gratuitous information. Like
you haven't heard what I'm asking yet.
You're going to ask them. If we look like they expected us.
No, I'm not. That's not what I'm
asking. What are you going
to
ask them?
I'm going to say, I want you to examine how you have pictured us in your heads, like Sophie did. And I want you to write in and tell us who you have cast subconsciously.
Okay, well,
as
that's
us,
sort of still like the Sophie same thing. Did. And that's still a very gratuitous thing to request.
It sure is. Sure is. And you know why I'm asking? Because I want to know. I love Rob Delaney, and I'm very happy with the casting of him as me. So write in, who have you been picturing? And when you do look us up, how
like
disappointed were you? Aren't you happy with your choice?
I mean, yeah, I guess that makes sense as the name choice for me. Although, again, I feel like she's from a slightly different part of the country than me. But, yeah.
I mean, if someone had been like, Peter, I pictured Paul Giamatti. I might be like, I don't want to be Paul Giamatti for, you know, selfish reasons. I mean, I love Paul Giamatti. I'd like to apologize to Paul Giamatti for that uncalled for dig.
Anyway, 1,000 apologies to anyone who was offended by our discussion last week about hyphenated last names. We really support your choices. And we love you guys for listening.
Oh my God. Literally this second, I got another email about baby last name. And all I saw in the first sentence was, my husband and I had a very long argument. We have time?
To read those?
Nope, we don't have time. Guys, I'm going to read it. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. We've had a lot of time on hyphenated last names.
Yeah, I hope we're all satisfied now.
Yeah. Well, clearly it brings up a lot of feelings in people. Oh boy, I started this podcast so upset, and now I feel great because I love you, Beth, my wife, and all of our listeners who are telling us we're great or telling us that we've made them sad. We appreciate all of us. So thank you.
This has been We Knows Parenting. Please hit up a
please hit up
hit us up on our website, weknowsparenting.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at weknowspod.
You can send us an email at weknowspod@gmail.com. Send us some advice, a question, a story. Please, will you write us a review and leave us a rating? Boy, it helps on those iTunes.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. If you would. And check out our Instagrams and all that. New artwork coming soon. Do you guys also know that we're now owned by iHeartRadio? Did you know that, Beth?
I did.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Awkward ending! Bye!
Bye.